Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, right there before all the T's. And as you find Colossians chapter 3, I want to share with you this thought. We're going to enter our second message on forgiveness this week from last week. Last week we discussed that the definitions of forgiveness and the little bit of the process, but this week we're going to look in depth at the process of forgiveness. And you might think, well, Pastor, why would you preach 2 weeks in a row on forgiveness? And let me tell you why. Because it's probably the most needed spiritual battle victory that's going on today. Whether it is in your family or your church family or in your neighborhood or at the office or at the school, wherever you are, you're going to run into trouble. Do you know how I know this? Everywhere you go, there's people. And everywhere you go, there are sinful people. Because God's word says that all of us are sinful. And I'm going to tell you that where there are sinful people, there is going to be a need for forgiveness. And Scripture tells us that if we don't forgive and forgive properly, we are hindered spiritually. So this morning, as we come to the Word of God, we're going to look at, again, forgiveness. We talked about last week and that giving forgiveness relieves the carrier, the one who was offended. Not the one who did the offense, but it relieves the one who was offended of a great burden by choosing to cut a great burden off of your spiritual back. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 8. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things. Are you ready for the list? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with that old man's deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. Now you understand all that. He's saying there's no differentiation before God. Amen? We stand equal before the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, that means those who are saved, holy and beloved, put on. And he's got a list here for you to put on. He just gave you this list to put off. Are you ready? We are to put off all those other things. But then he says, put on. And the first thing he says is tender mercies. Amen? Do you have tender mercies? All the men, you have the ability to go, oh, but can you have tender mercies? Do you have tender mercies? According to God's word, a real man of God has tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Then verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. What is it we must do? Forgive. Father, your word makes it very plain, but God, it doesn't make it easy. Lord, it's so hard when we are offended to put aside the hurt and the pain and the anger and to forgive so that we can be spiritually clear for blessing and work in you. Today, Father, we pray that you would help us to look into your word and see that process that helps us to be cleaned, to be clear of spiritual debt ourselves by being able to forgive others. God help us. We need it. Amen. God help us. We want it. God help us. Our spiritual growth depends on it. Our blessing depends on it. This world depends on it. It is in Jesus' name we ask and pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Unforgiveness. You know, as with any other sin that could be listed, unforgiveness comes with its own set of symptoms. Are you ready? Now listen to this set of symptoms. As we go through them, I want you to do a self-check. You know, kind of like when you go to the doctor and you sit there in the waiting room and you go through this list, you know, have you ever had this? Have you ever had this? Have you ever had this? Do you have that? You know exactly what I'm talking about. So here's the list. It says, and we are reminded, that those who have unforgiveness in their lives have some characteristics. They are lonely, legalistic, irritable, resentful, self-protective, fearful, joyless, spiritually dry. Do any of these things describe you? Perhaps as you are checking the symptoms off, you would find that you are going to see your malady. Now, that's what the unforgiveness are. Listen to what the unforgiving have. They have a negative attitude, critical spirit, inner anger, a self-righteous air, a lack of intimacy, both with God and man, an inability to risk their heart, a blocked prayer life, difficulty communicating. And if you understand this one, you understand how it works in a tendency toward passive-aggressive behavior. Now, we'll talk about that another time. But I want you to know this, that as these things are brought up in your heart and life and you go, whoop, you hit a chord, don't get mad at the preacher. Go ahead and forgive him. Okay? But would you look at your own heart and would you look at where you're headed and would you ask God, Lord, reveal to me the truth of my life and where I have a need. Like diagnosing an illness in you that would make you well and bring life and joy back to your life. That's exactly what can happen in the case of the bitterness that is brought about by unforgiving spirits. Did you know that forgiveness is a process? We haven't even gotten to the outline yet that you've got. We're almost there. Did you know that forgiveness is a process? It's not necessarily a one-step thing. And a key step to know what God's word, a key step to know about forgiveness is to know God's word, to know what God's word says about forgiveness. And a key verse is found in that scripture that we just read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Let's read verse 13 again. Would you follow along with me or just hear as I read? The scripture says that we should bear with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. To forgive. Scripture records that others have been through it. Many people have been through the hurt of what people have done to them, and yet they've been able to forgive. One of the neatest passages that I've ever read is Genesis chapter 50, where you go back and look at the life of Joseph and what his brothers did to him, sold him into slavery, thrown into prison, lied about, lied to, and yet God used him to save an entire nation of people because of where he was. And the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 50, I believe it's verse 20, it says that Joseph treated his brothers with kindness and said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. Can you do that? It's a tough question, isn't it? When somebody hurts you, when somebody offends you, when somebody literally stomps your... Do you remember that old country western song says, she tore my heart out and stomped that sucker flat? Anybody remember? That's a real song. Came from the 60s. You ever feel like that? That somebody ripped your heart out and stomped that sucker flat? When somebody rips your heart out and stomps it flat, do you have the ability to say, God, I want to forgive. You're going to have to help me. And God, I know that they meant it for evil. But God, I believe with all my heart that you can do something good with it. That, dear friends, is the difference between growing into bitterness and growing back to joy. Forgiving an offender is not necessarily a one-time event. Friends, if somebody hurts you deeply, let me just ask you, if you've had heart surgery, do you think in one day with the one act of prayer that all of a sudden all the scars and all the openings and all the different things that they had to do to get to your heart, that it's all of a sudden going to be gone? Folks, it is a healing process. And remember this, that forgiving an offender is not always and not usually even a one-time act. It bears repeating. Remember that forgiveness is a process. We're going to talk about it this morning. But when an offense from your past comes back up, what do we do? Friends, we have to forgive again. And even though we've forgiven once, we think, oh, I've already done that. If the bitterness and the hurt and the problems come back, we need to give the act of forgiveness again. You choose it. And when the heart's been hurt, when trust has been trampled, there is a process from God that will help your heart not just to get better, but to fully heal. And that's why you need to know the four stages of forgiveness. That's why we're going to talk through them this morning. We're going to pretend this, if you would. Pretend that you called the pastor. The pastor, I need a 25-minute session with you. I'm really struggling with forgiveness. Could you possibly share with me how I can get over it? And you and I will be in this room alone. You and I will share together what God's word says about the four stages of learning and actually coming to the place to be able to forgive. First and foremost, what you need to do is you need to confirm the hurt. You need to feel the offense. Listen, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the scripture says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is on you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." What's that scripture saying? It's saying, look, don't just be so surprised that bad things come to you. Bad things come to everybody. The fiery trials come to all of us. And that includes you. That includes me. Confirm the hurt. In other words, don't slow the healing down by denying that you were injured. The wrong belief is this, that we might say, oh, I guess they really didn't hurt me that much, or they really didn't hurt me that often. Folks, sometimes we just come to the place to say, you know what? They hurt me. And we have to confess and confirm the hurt. The right belief in that is not to say, oh, well, I guess it didn't hurt me all that bad. The right belief is to say, there is never an excuse for abuse. Can I say that again? There is never an excuse for abuse. Or any other sin for that matter. Remember this, that abuse, that battery, that sin is against the law of man and it's against the law of God. Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 tell us that when there is sin in life, it hurts God and it hurts man. So come to the place where you say, you know what? There is no excuse for sin and they hurt me. The second thing is, don't slow the healing by saying, oh, well, I understand. I understand that why they did that. You know, the wrong belief is that we say, you know, well, I really shouldn't be upset that they did this. They didn't really mean to hurt me. Have you ever been there? Well, maybe they really didn't mean to hurt me. But you know what? Time and time again, when it happens, they meant to. And we have to come to the place where we realize, you know what? They meant to hurt me, and I'm not going to pass it off to say, you know, oh, well, I understand, and not deal with it. The right belief is this, that we call sin, sin. Because sin before God is wrong, we know that. Even the law of man, at least sometimes, says that sin is wrong. No matter the age of the offender, No matter the relationship with the offender, sin hurts. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody. And so whatever they are to you, whoever they are to you, don't just say, oh, well, it's okay. Because it's not okay. The third thing is this. Don't slow the healing by denying the pain. And folks, I've got to tell you, I forgot to tell you about this, but in the back this morning, there is an outline on the circle information desk, and there's a couple of stacks back there at the table in the back, and I have got an outline of this sermon and of this teaching to the very detailed degree, and it's got everything I'm talking about this morning, including the list of the symptoms, and I've got enough for every family to take one home. I really would like for you to take one home. Because as you go through these things, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, you know what? That's me. Oops, that's me. What do I do? And you'll be reminded through this outline. It is a wonderful, wonderful help for you to look and to diagnose in your life where you need help in forgiveness. Don't slow the healing by denying the pain. You know, the wrong belief is this, that you say, you know what? There's already been enough hurt. I don't want to cause any more problems by confronting this sin. Have you ever been there? I mean, the family's already in enough turmoil, right? And you think, oh, well, you know, I don't want to confront the sin. It's just going to cause more problems. You know what it's going to do? It's going to perpetuate the problem until the sin is confronted. And even if it's confronted, that doesn't mean that they're going to get right. But at least it begins the process. The right belief is to say, you know what? I understand that pain is a part of living in a fallen world because of fallen people and because fallen people do terrible things. It does hurt and it does cause me pain. But I know that it won't heal until it's confronted. And God's word in 1 Peter 4 and Psalms 42 tells us that we should confront sin and that we should do our best to win that person to come back to Christ, to right, and to healing. It's hard. You know what? Being a mature Christian is not easy. And it's not always fun because we're the ones called on to restore those who've sinned. But you can't restore somebody from sin unless they repent. And usually repentance is only followed by someone who will confront them with their sin. One more here. Do not slow the healing by forgiving and restoring too quickly. Now, I want you to hear those last two words. Do not slow the healing by forgiving too quickly and by restoring too quickly. Now, what do I mean by that? Does that mean to say that we can hold on to it for a while and make them suffer? Is that what I'm saying? Not at all. Because God's word says that if we have sin in our own life, we will not be forgiven unless we forgive. We're going to talk more about that in a bit. But understand this, you are to forgive quickly, but you do not restore quickly if they do not make things right. We're going to talk about that difference, if not today, next week. Understand that we can forgive too quickly. Here's what I mean. The wrong belief would be that somebody says, well, I knew the moment that they hurt me, I had to forgive them and restore them immediately because I'm a Christian. Just like that. Before they ever confessed their sin, before they ever tried to make things right, they said, okay, I'm going to restore them. Well, let me tell you what the right belief is in that. That before complete forgiveness and before complete restoration can be extended, there must be an acknowledgement by the offender that they've done wrong. If they do not confess, there cannot be reconciliation. Because all there is then is just a continuance of the sin. Sometimes well-intended Christians feel guilty if they don't immediately extend forgiveness and reconciliation to the one who's hurt them. So they offer premature forgiveness, but in doing so, they literally refuse to face what actually happened themselves because they don't want to stand against sin. They're afraid of the sin in their own life is going to stand out, but they're also afraid that that person's going to throw it back in their face, and they're also just afraid, period. I don't want to have to do that. But God's word says that for there to be complete healing, reconciliation. There's got to be a time where the individual who offended you confesses to the fact that they hurt you. They confess their faults one to another and pray for one another that they can be healed. They don't hold the offender properly accountable. Now, that's the first thing. The first thing that we need to do is literally to confirm the hurt, to say, God, that really hurt. Because if we don't, we literally have a wound inside that's bandaged over, and we have a Band-Aid on it. Maybe you can't see it on the outside, but on the inside, you're hurting. And it's not going to heal unless it is taken care of. The second thing that you need to do, confess the hate. You know, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't hate. We shouldn't hate. The second thing you need to do, confess the hate. Face the offense. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn. Folks, there is a time sometimes for us to get to the place that we actually face our feelings. And God says there's a time for everything under the sun. Just make sure it's the appropriate time. The wrong belief would be this, that you say, well, as a Christian, I don't feel any hate. You know what that's called? A lie. As a Christian, I don't feel any hate. Yes, we do. We need to confess the hate. Because we as a Christian often will feel guilty if we feel hate, right? We say, well, why am I so angry? Why do I hate that? Listen, here's the right belief, and it'll help you to understand what's going on inside of a righteous heart. God hates sin. Hello? God hates sin. And so should you. You should hate sin. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 tells us that we should hate the sin, but what? Love the sinner. Hate the sin, the things that they do. Hate the sin, but love the person. Oh, it's so hard sometimes to separate the person from their actions. Amen? But God does. God sees you, and he sees your sin, and he says, that's not who I created them to be. Confess the hate. God, I hate that sin. But Lord Jesus, help me to love that sinner. Amen? Talk about making a difference in your ability to forgive. The third thing that we need to do is choose to heal. Choose to heal. Wouldn't you like to be healed? You know what? Have you ever smashed a toe? Oh, I watched a show the other day. My goodness, it was on TV. About a guy out in the woods, and he had a hatchet, and he swung, and he missed the stick, and he hit his foot. Oh, man, does that make you cringe just a little bit? How many times have we shot our own foot with our feelings and our sin and our wrong? When we have that kind of hurt, don't we want to be healed? Confess it. Don't you want to be healed? Of course we do. But we have to choose to heal when it comes to forgiveness. In other words, we need to forgive the offender. And you're going, wait a minute, Pastor. That's too hard. I don't think I can do that. Okay, so you can't. How about we claim Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You say, well, Pastor, what if I just don't feel like forgiving? Join the club. How many of us really feel like forgiving? The truth is that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is an act of your will. And if you do not choose it, then you're choosing not to choose it. So you're saying, I'm just going to be disobedient. Luke 6, Mark 11, talk about these things that we need to forgive, and it is a choice of our heart and of our mind. Do you remember Luke chapter 6 says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. forgiven. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, you ever stood praying? Oh, this is going to catch us. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Wait a minute. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. But God, can't we just make these people that are close, not those people that are out there that I really don't want to be restored to? He said, nope. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. Wow. God, I can forgive everybody else. Have you ever thought this one? God, I can forget everything else that happens to me, but that one guy, I just can't forgive them. God, you know I can't forgive them. Or God, you know I can't forgive her. God, there's just no way. I can forgive everything else, but I can't forgive that. Well, the truth is this. The issue is not how big is their offense against you, but how big is God's power in your life to be able to forgive them. I can do all things, what? Through Christ. I can do what? Does that include being able to forgive someone who's terribly hard to forgive? Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Have you ever thought about using that verse for forgiveness? We are conquerors over our desire to withhold our forgiveness. Conquerors over the sin that would keep us from forgiving and over the sin that would keep us from being forgiven. How about a third one? God, I really don't want to forgive because forgiveness does not seem fair for this guy. Hello? God, they don't deserve forgiveness. Amen? Boy, we've gotten there before. God, I think he ought to pay for his wrong. I think she ought to pay for her wrong. You want to know the truth of that situation? That's God's job to condemn, not ours. That's God's job to do what he would do. God knows how to deal with every person fairly. And sooner or later, don't you forget, and don't you believe he won't, but sooner or later, God will deal with every person on this earth. How about this one? God, I'm having trouble forgiving because I've forgiven them, but it doesn't do any good. They just keep doing the same thing to me over and over. They hurt me. They abuse me. They go against me. They don't care. They don't love. What do you do with that? Folks, the truth is that you're responsible for what God tells you to do. Amen? God doesn't hold you accountable for what somebody else does, but he does hold you accountable for what he told you to do. And God holds you accountable whether others do what they're supposed to do or not. Listen to Matthew chapter 18. Do you remember this scripture from last week? Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And what did the Lord say? I tell you, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, 490 plus, because that was the number of perfection and completion. So he says, there's an unlimited number of times we're supposed to forgive. How about this one? God, I seem to have trouble with forgiving and forgetting. Any other confessors? How about all of us? God, I have trouble forgiving and forgetting. I just keep thinking about being hurt and it gets me upset all over again. Do you want to hear something? If you don't hear anything else today, would you please hear this? Just because you're a Christian does not mean that you will get holy amnesia when somebody hurts you. Let that sink in a bit. Do you think that just because you're a Christian that all of a sudden your brain is going to quit functioning? That's what the world thinks about us, but it's not true. We just function on a higher level because we know the Creator. God's Word says that we are to forgive. And I'm going to tell you this. It is difficult to forgive, but folks, it is impossible to forget. Why? Unless we're starting to have trouble towards the end of our life, you know, when we get dementia. Sometimes it might be a blessed amnesia, amen? I'm not trying to make light of that because that is a difficult thing in so many people. But I want you to understand this, that you cannot make yourself forget a hurt, but what you can do is choose not to rehearse it in your mind. You can choose not to bring it up. You can choose not to talk about it. And when it comes back up in your life and it's hurting all over again, because deep hurts do that. When you've had a sword shoved through your heart, it takes longer to heal if somebody just pricked your finger. So understand this, that though you may not be able to forget, you can keep from bringing it back up. And when it does come up, you forgive again and say, God, I thought I turned that over. You helped me to get rid of it. Lord, I'm asking for your strength. I'm asking for your help. And I'm asking you, God, to help me purposefully not to bring that offense back up in my mind, and certainly not to bring it back up to talk to other people about it. That's hard. Because when we're hurt, we like to tell people about it. Amen? Come on. When we're hurt, we like for people to know we've hurt. Well, they hurt me. I'm 83 and I was 12, but they hurt me. Now listen, there are some hurts that are so deep you never forget like that. But folks, we are not supposed to be rehearsing it time and time again. The next thing we do is we come to harmony. And how do we come to harmony? Free the offender from their offense and free yourself from their offense. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 that we read just a few minutes ago. It says, bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. You know, the first person we need to come to harmony with is God. Come to harmony with God. Now you say, well, why would I need to come to harmony with God? Because so many people, when they are injured, when so many people have unforgiveness in their heart, one of the first entities that they are angry with is God. Am I wrong? How many people have you known that said, well, I'm mad at God? Yeah, that does a lot of good, but doesn't do you any good either. I'm mad at God. Why are you mad at God? Because he let this happen to me. How can a loving God let this happen? Have you ever heard that in your life? How can a loving God let this happen? I just haven't been able to forgive God for allowing this to happen. Let me tell you something. God gave every human being that has ever been born free will. And they act according to their own desires. That's why the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. He did not create a puppet state. He doesn't go around pulling the strings on people. Not even Christians. Why is it that we get mad at God when people do the wrong? We think, well, God could have stopped it. Yeah, I guess he could, but he hasn't stopped it for everybody else. Understand this. God did not cause someone to hurt you. But even if they did, I want you to remember this. You go back and read Genesis chapter 50. Even if God didn't cause the hurt, God can cause good to come out of the event if you will give him the hurt and let him use it and let him work it in your life. You know Romans 8:28. Most of you can quote it. It goes like this, and if you know it, just say it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. to those who are called according to his purpose. Understand this. So many people misquote this and they say, well, everything's good. Can any of you think of something in this world that's not good? Can you say, well, everything's good? No, the scripture doesn't say that. It says we know all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things are good. It says God can work them to good if we're letting God work his purpose. How about this one with God? God, I just feel is so far away from me that I don't know where to start. God is so far from me, I don't know how to get back to him, so I guess I'm just going to give up. God is so far away, he doesn't want to come to me. Or I'm so far away, I don't know how to get there. Well, I want you to know this, Christian. If you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ and you feel far away from God, I want you to know this. God is not the one who has moved. We are. Refusing to forgive does not cause you to lose your salvation. Now, understand this. We know that several scriptures say, that if you do not forgive those who have trespassed against you, God will not forgive you of your trespasses. Do you know those scriptures? Have you heard them? We read two of them today, and the Lord's Prayer has yet another one in there, and that's just three examples. Well, then why do I feel so far away from God? I don't know how to get back there. Understand this. You do not lose your salvation when you refuse to forgive. You just lose your blessings. Do you realize that God puts an umbrella over you and protects you and helps you and rains down to you from inside of his umbrella the blessings even when the hard stuff is coming down from the world on top? And God will guard you and give you strength and help you. But when you refuse to forgive, let me show you what happens. The protection of God is gone. The blessing of God is gone. The joy of a relationship with God is gone. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15 says that, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. But I want you to key in on that first part. If you will forgive men their trespasses, God will forgive you. God hasn't moved. Do you want to be restored? Turn your face back to Christ. I know you've heard this one, and maybe you've even felt this way before yourself. There's no way in the world that God could ever forgive me for all that I've done. If you've not said that yourself, you've heard somebody say it. How could God forgive me for all that I've done? Remember this, the scripture says that if we will forgive, he will forgive you. You know something really cool? God not only forgives, God forgets. He says that he separates our sin as far away from him as the east is from the west. Where does that stop? Never. Thank you, God. I love the way God forgives. Amen. And he's telling us that we need to follow him in the way we forgive others. 1 John 1:9 says that if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Jesus, the Lord God in Isaiah chapter 43 said this. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. There's your scripture for how far he separates you from your sin when you confess and ask forgiveness. I will not remember your sins. Come to harmony with God. And then the next thing you need to do is come to harmony with other people. Now, how do we do that? We come to harmony with other people by having a heart of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? Having a heart of reconciliation. It means being tender-hearted, guys. Ladies, it means being tender-hearted. It means having a desire to be made right, even though we don't want to. And sometimes we don't want to. There's a lot of reasons why we don't want to. Our anger, our bitterness, our unforgiveness says, no, I don't want to do that. We want them to suffer. We want to make them pay. You know, the sad thing is most of the time they don't even know that you're upset at them. So you're really making them pay. But God says that if we want, that if we will forgive, what we do is we cut the burden from our own back. We're giving ourselves the freedom. Come to harmony with others by having a heart of reconciliation. So many people believe that they can never be reconciled with someone else. Isn't that why we fail to go to them? We think, well, they'll never listen to me. They'll never try. Listen, sometimes all it takes is a step because they're hoping and praying that you'll come to them too. Why don't you be the mature person? Why don't you be the one who makes the steps and do what God calls you to do? The truth is, since God forgives me, I really don't have a choice. I must forgive others with a heart of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean, a heart of reconciliation? That means that I have to give it a good, godly try. Even if they don't want it, I have to give it a good, godly try. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, that we've read several times, tells us that. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you forgive them. And then Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Woo! Can you celebrate that one? With God, all things are possible. You might be thinking, you know what? There's just no way. This has been going on between us for years, for decades, for 50 years. How about you give it to God and let God do the healing? All things are possible with God. It's amazing how many times I hear from people that say, you know, I finally did what I was supposed to do, and they were so ready for reconciliation, it surprised me. Wish I'd have done this sooner. Amen. Have a heart of reconciliation, which means not just, I forgive you, but I have a heart that says, I forgive, and I'd like for us to be restored. Can we work through this? The second thing that we do to come to harmony with others is we pray for the offender. Now, I want you to think of this, and I'm sorry to bring this up to you, but you've got one in there. Can you think of somebody who's hurt you recently? Somebody who really got you good. Have you prayed for them? Now listen, I want to ask you this, and I want you to understand it. Have you prayed for them? I don't mean have you prayed about them. I'm good at praying about you. God, you know what they did. God, I want you to get them, Lord. Sick them, Jesus. Let them have it. Send the hounds of hell. You know, we're really good about praying about the sin of others. But have you done this? God, I know that they hurt me, but I pray that you would make their heart tender to hear from you. And God, would you make my heart tender to hear from you that I might minister to them and that I might help them to come to know you. Now, doesn't that sound like a great thing to do for your enemy? Is that what we call them? Listen to what God's word says about that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, you must pray for those who have hurt you. You must. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Wait a minute. Do what for those who curse you? Now, what does it mean to bless them? To speak good, to pray good of them. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's a pretty heavy list. But God, I don't feel like praying for them. God, I don't want to pray for them. God says, I know. Do it anyway. I know your feelings come first for you. But what God says is that we need to have our faith in front of our feelings. Faith is our engine. Feelings are the caboose Let them come last. Faith should be moving first, and faith should be saying, God, I need your help, because I know that your word says I must forgive. It's a requirement of God to pray for them. Why? Why is it such a requirement that God wants us to pray for our enemies? Are you listening? God wants us to pray for our enemies because prayer changes our focus from finding fault to seeing need. And we don't do that well on our own. It helps us to focus on what we can give. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and I want to end on this scripture. Listen, it says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Praying for your offender helps you to focus on what you can give instead of on what you can receive. And folks, how about this? God's word says that when we do that, we become more like Jesus. Come to harmony with God. Come to harmony with your offender. And remember, you probably don't feel like it. But God's word says, you do it because I told you to. It is a conscious choice. Will I forgive? Can I pray for you? Father, we start with the question sometimes to go, God, how in the world can I do this? But Father, I guess as long as we're bringing that question to you, it's still a good question. Because we do it in your strength. We do it in your power. We do it in your grace, and we do it in your love. God, it's so easy for us to be offended. Help us, God, to be slow to offend, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and quick to listen. Quick to forgive, and then to work on the reconciliation. Quick to have a heart to pray. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to know when we need to slow down and how we need to approach things so that there can be real healing and not just putting a rubber patch on our hearts for a blowout later. I pray for these here, Father. I pray for every man, every woman, every teenager, every child. God, would you help them right now, Lord, to be able to see your desire and to choose forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to be restored to one another in the love of Christ Jesus, that we might live and love and serve our Lord Jesus with our all. Can you agree with that, friends?